Our Lord said here in verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Two things stand out here. My people and your God. My people and your God. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole world, the heavens, is His throne. The earth is His footstool. And He reigns upon the earth and He reigns over the children of men. He says He does according to His will in the heavens and the sea and in the earth and in all deep places. He does whatever pleases Him. And then He turns around here and says, my people, my people. There's a certain number that He calls my people. He calls them His chosen, His elect, His purchased. He calls them even His peculiar people. And look what is said down here in verse 12. This is what I'm talking about. He who hath measured the waters in the hollows of His hand, meted out the heaven as a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Oh my. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. As small dust on a balance. And then He turns around and says, I'm your God and you're my people. That don't sound like the God of this age. That's for certain. But all He calls them my people. We're His property, His children, His peculiar treasure, vessels of mercy, sheep, elect. And everything in this world and all the fullness of it belongs to Him. Yet He says, my people. And He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And oh my, He brought these people near to Himself. He said He drew us with the cords of a man, loved us with an everlasting love, and grew us with the cords of a man. My people, can you by faith put yourself in this number? Say, my people, my God. Can you say like Thomas did, my Lord and my God? Can you say that? Can you read your title clear, written in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, I'm accepted in the Beloved? Well, God is full of care, love for His children. In fact, He says, comfort ye. Mentioned it twice. Comfort ye, comfort ye. Not just anybody. Comfort my people. Oh, God said, I want my children to have comfort. Well, and He's not talking about earthly comfort. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about spiritual comfort. Comfort for the heart. Comfort for the soul. Comfort for where we're going to go in eternity. What's going to happen to us. And I tell you what. He says, comfort, comfort ye my people. And you know, who is it that God uses to comfort His people? Well, the first thing He uses is the Holy Spirit. He said, I go away. I'm leaving this world. But I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send a comforter, another comforter. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, you know what He's going to do for you? This is comforting. He's going to guide you into all truth. And He's going to teach you the truth. And He's going to take the things of mine and He's going to show them unto you. And so that's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit, Christ left us, the Holy Spirit here, and it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the truth, guides us to the truth. We ain't been guided to all the truth yet. But I tell you what little truth I've been guided to, I sure love it and cherish it, don't you? I don't know much about it, but I do know this. What He's guided me into, I love it and thank God for it. And I tell you, He uses instruments. He uses instruments for His people. He uses preachers. Well, let me say this. Let me mention this. He uses angels to comfort His people. Do you know that? Now, you keep Isaiah 40. Look over here with me in Hebrews chapter 1. You know, you find Jacob was, angel came to him. Michael came to Daniel and strengthened him, encouraged him. There was a great army around Elisha one time. He was in his house, and in this army, you know, everywhere they went, somebody would tell them where they was and what was going on. He said, is that bird around here that's carrying the message to the Israelites? Because when we set up the battle over here, they're over there. And he said, well, so they just got their whole army and surrounded Elisha's house. One prophet. And boy, his servant went out and he looked up and he saw chariots and armies. Oh, he looked all around and saw armies. And you know what he said? Lord, open his eyes that he may see. He said, there's more for us than there is against us. Oh, angel opened the doors for Simon Peter. And when he knocked on the door and said, let me in, they said, oh no, that can't be Peter, he's in jail. No, angel come and woke him up, and the chains fell off of him. And Paul was standing on a ship, fixing to sink. This ship's fixing to sink. Been a storm for over 14 days. Didn't see the sun, the moon, or the stars. Wind and rain and storms beat on it. It's getting ready to crash, getting ready to sink. And Paul said, oh, men, be of good cheer. What's there to be good cheer about, man? We're fixing to go. Our ship's falling all to pieces. He said, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night and said, there's not one of you going to be lost. Not one of you. So I tell you, God uses angels. And here's where he sends them oftentimes to be ministering spirits to us. But look here in verse 13 of Hebrews 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, he didn't, of course. Christ is that, got that position. And he said, this is what he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ, when Lazarus died, you know who came and got him? An angel carried him into Abraham's bosom. Let me give you somebody else. Who else has the Lord used to comfort his people? Preachers. You say, well, boy, that's what we're called to do. Called to comfort the Lord's people. I know sometimes they don't feel comfortable. You know, people used to say all the time, you know, said, boy, that preacher got all over my toes. If that's the only place he got, he didn't do you a bit of good. That's not comforting, get on your toes. It's the heart. It's the heart that needs comfort. It's the heart we have to deal with. And God uses preachers to comfort his people. And ministers are called angels of the church, lights of the church. But I know one thing you can't do. You can't hold their hands. You can't baby them, and you certainly can't stroke them. You know what? Me and some preacher friends, every once in a while, we'll talk about people that's high maintenance. You ever been around anybody that's high maintenance? Church members are high maintenance. Some are very high maintenance. And boy, you get a high maintenance church member, and it's not good. It's not good. I'm a low maintenance person, so you know if you're a high maintenance person, you done got the wrong preacher, I'm afraid. But here, preachers are called to minister and comfort the Lord's people. And you know how they do it? By preaching the gospel of grace. Preaching the gospel of grace. Preaching the gracious doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other doctrine that'll comfort a saint. No other doctrine, free willism and Arminianism won't comfort a heart. It can't possibly comfort a heart. Is there any comfort in preaching? You're a child of God and then may fall away. A child of God today and a child of the devil tomorrow? No. To say you're redeemed by the blood and yet say the blood is not sufficient for you unless you add your thoughts, your actions, your good deeds, your graces, your faith. That our standing depends upon us. What comfort's that? What comfort's that? Oh, but the grace of God. And that's what, listen, and God makes preachers and use the gospel to comfort them. You know, look what he said here in verse 2. And this is you talking about comforting right here. This is something we preach. Speak ye to the heart. Let's see what that says in the margin, comfortably to the heart. To Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the Lord's people. Spiritual Israel we're talking about. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished. The victory has been won. No more warfare. No more warfare. No more war with God. No more war with the dead. No more war. Her warfare is accomplished. The victory has been won. And that her iniquity is pardoned. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And listen to this. She hath received double. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I think there's two things there that we can talk about. You know, if you got a match. Sin. See, it's a light. It's a match. It's a fire. And you got this match burning. And you take a bucket full, a whole 3-gallon bucket full, and you dump it to put that fire out, that match out. Well, that's what God does for us. He gives us a bucket full of grace. Where grace, where sin abounded. You know what? Grace superabounded. Huh? And I'll tell you something else. Another thing too. We receive punishment for our sins. That's one way. And then the second way is that we were rendered and regarded as obeying the law ourselves. So our sins are paid for, and then God turns around and charges us like we've never sinned, and we've kept the law from the day we was born till the day we die. You know, he said, I come that you might have life, and why, how much are you going to have of it? Abundantly. He said he gives grace. And then after he gives grace, he said, more grace. He gives grace for grace. He gives you grace and then gives you grace for that grace. That's pretty comforting, ain't it? Oh, comfort you, comfort you. My people. Oh my, you know, Wednesday nights, in my opinion, for years, was the best service night for me, for years. And used to have a set a little thing down here, and I'd have everybody sit on one side and do my preaching or teaching from right there. And we've had the best, because the church is here on Wednesday night. God's people that's really, truly interested, people that want to be fed, people that want to be warned, people that want to be encouraged. They want to be out of the world for a little while. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But there was a preacher one time. I won't tell you his name, but he's ended up getting out of the ministry, and it's a good thing he did. I thought he was a very good preacher, and then he was called to be a pastor. And when he got to be a pastor, he turned into one of the meanest men in the pulpit I ever seen. I talked to him, Henry talked to him, Don talked to him, but nobody could tell him anything. He told his congregation one time, he said, if you come here for me to give you comfort, he said, I'm not here to give you comfort. You want comfort, you go someplace else. Now, wouldn't that be awful? That'd be awful. And there was a woman in his congregation. She owned a beauty shop, and I was out there, and she'd cut my hair. And she'd come Cherokee one time, cut my hair Cherokee, and cut some of the women's hair. And she got cancer. And I mean, she got sick. She just started withered away on the bone. So she come in one morning late. He's told her, he said, if you can't get here on time, just stay at the house. And I tell you what, that's Now, if you ever hear me acting that way, you all pick up songbooks, pick up a baseball bat, pick up anything and start throwing them at me. Oh, God. You know, how could anybody that's got the grace of God in them mistreat one of the Lord's people? Our Lord said, oh my, behold, be careful that you despise not one of these little ones, for their angels do always behold the Father's face. And oh my, I do know, but I'm like Scott one time. Every time he'd hear a preacher preach, he'd say, one thing, he'd come up to you and say, one thing I didn't hear. What's that? I didn't hear nothing about a lamb. Didn't hear nothing about a lamb. And I tell you what, like Abraham, when he found that lamb caught in that thicket, do you know what comfort he had? What assurance he had? What a blessing it was to him? When we hear about Christ being put in our place, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, bearing them away, bearing them away to never ever bring them against us again. Now I tell you what, I thank God we've got a lamb. And that's the next thing it's going to tell us about here right now. He says, the voice of him, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now we know that's John the Baptist. So when he says, he said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now listen to this. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That word straight means don't make it a straight and narrow like that. That means you put this thing down there where when he comes, you make people understand who he is when he gets here. And they'd ask him, said, are you the Christ? No, I'm not. There's one coming after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He said, I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And then after a while, the Lord Jesus come to him to be baptized. And he said, oh no, Lord, you ought to baptize me. He said, no, it suffers us to fulfill all righteousness. I want to be righteous and before God's law in everything I do. And John the Baptist, you know, he made that way so clear, so plain, and the last time he saw Christ, you know what he said? He said, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What happened? Andrew followed him. And Peter followed him. And then he went by a fellow sitting under a tree. And he saw that fellow named Philip. And he said, Philip? He said, oh, he said, how? He said, you know, he introduced him. Andrew talked about Christ and he said, can there any good thing come out of Galilee? And our Lord said, you know, Philip, well, you're sitting under that fig tree. I saw you. I saw you and I know what you're thinking. Here's the lightning indeed is whom no guile. He said, oh, you're the Messiah. You're the Lord. John made it clear when you saw him who he was going to be. Who he's going to be. And that's what he did. And oh my. And he said this. He said, and every valley shall be exalted. Oh, when you're down there low, he's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up. And listen to this. And every hill shall be made low. Brought down where you could go straight. And the crooked. We're crooked in Adam. Just as crooked as we could be. He said, the crooked's going to be made straight. He's going to make the way straight for us. And then look what else he says. Oh my. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh, listen, you know when it is revealed? There's so many instances in the New Testament and Old Testament where he was. But I'll just give you a quick illustration. You know, when Simeon was an old man, I've told you this and preached this so many times, but Simeon is an old man, and he said the Lord wouldn't let him depart until he had seen the Lord's Christ, till he had seen salvation. Well, he picked up a 40-day-old baby when they went to dedicate him to the Lord. He picked him up, and he said, Lord, thou let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Saw it in a baby. And that's what he says. Make us in the desert a highway for who? Our God. Our God. And I tell you, our God, he said, he's going to make the rough places straight, plain. He's going to make all the rough places plain. Oh my. And the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. Ain't you glad? Ain't you thankful? Ain't you blessed, God, that you've seen the glory of Christ? The glory of His power, the glory of His grace, the glory of His person, the glory of His work, the glory of His death, glory of His resurrection, the glory of His ascension. Oh, we've seen the glory of the Lord. And listen to this. And all flesh shall see it together. Now, that don't mean everybody. That means Jew or Gentile. Same thing as John 3:16. So it means the same thing. All flesh shall see it together. What flesh? Oh, he does start. That told us who what flesh going to see. My people. My people. They're going to see. They're the ones going to see. And oh my. And they'll see it together. And well, here we are, we see it. We're all together and we see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I tell you what, when we find out that we're grass, that our flesh is as grass, and there's nothing goodly about grass, you know, you got to keep it mowed or it'll just take over. But the grass, oh, the flower withereth and the flower fades. Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. And I tell you, when God makes us know just how frail we are, how weak we are, that we're just like a flower fading, that we're just like grass that we walk on, just like grass that we stand in the middle of, like grass and just, you know, and we say, this is what you are. And when you find that out, He comes and comforts you. And look what He says next. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But here's something that we can find comfort in. The word of our God shall stand forever. You know, this was so wonderful. When we get to heaven, God's word ain't going to change one bit. It ain't. It ain't going to change. You know when they talk about opening the books? This is the books. And if you don't believe that book here, you surely ain't going to believe it there. And I tell you, bless His name. The word of our God, He said, it's going to stand forever. Now that's comforting. I'm fading away, but His word stands forever. I'm just like grass, and I'm getting frailer and frailer. One of these days, like the grass, when the spirit and the wind blows on it, and the winter blows on it, and the frost blows on it, that ain't worth nothing. And that's exactly the way we are. And then He comes along and says, listen, you may be not be much, but I'll tell you what, my word will stand forever. You trust me. You trust me. Huh? And oh my. And look what else He says here. And oh Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Oh, bringeth good tidings. Get up on a mountain now. Oh, Jerusalem, and tell Jerusalem, tell my people that bring us good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, say unto the Lord's people, behold your God. My. Behold your God. Well, who is He? Measures the waters in the hollow of His hand. Stretch out the heavens as a span. Takes all these nations of the earth and says, you know what they are? They're just a drop in the bucket. You know what they are? They're just dust on a balance. You don't blow the dust. You don't expect somebody to blow the dust off of a balance. You go buy a pound of bologna, do you? Because you think it's going to make it way more. That dust going to make. No. That's what He is. That's the way He is. That's the way our God is. Oh my. And then listen to what He says. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. And oh, how He came with a strong hand. Raise the dead. cleansed the lepers, and he come with such a strong hand that he could take out the stony heart and put in a new heart. He could take a mind that was dark and subdue it. He could take a man and bring him down. Oh, listen. And his arm shall rule for him. He don't need no... That's all he needs is an arm. Just an arm. Just an arm. And then all these folks get together and lift up their hands, you know, like they're doing something for... Just give Jesus a big praise wave. Ah. And look what he says here. His arm shall rule for him. And listen to this. His reward's with him. What does he reward you with? Salvation. He brings it with him. When he comes and sets up in your heart, sends up in your will, he brings his reward. What's his reward? Salvation. Father, you gave them to me. And because you gave them to me, they're going to come to me. He said, oh, listen. And he brings his salvation. When Lazarus was dead, don't you think when Christ said, Lazarus, come forth, what a reward that Christ brought with him. He raised the dead. Lepers come to him and said, oh, and our Lord Jesus would touch them and they'd be cleaned. Beggars would say, for mercy, O Lord, and Christ give them mercy. People say, I'm hungry, and Christ give them bread. People say, I'm thirsty. Well, drink of the water of living water. Ah, listen, I tell you what, that's comforting, ain't it? Oh, that's comforting. And I listen to this. And his reward with him and his work goes before him. Oh my, he had everything established before him. And listen to this now. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Huh? Hey, listen to this. He gonna gather these lambs. Babies. Newborn babies. Babes. He said, you know what he's going to do? He said, I'm going to gather the lambs in his arm. Then he's going, what's he going to do? He's going to carry them right up here, right in his bosom. And she'll gently lead those that's got the young. He's going to gently lead them along. And oh my, so much comfort here for us. And let me tell you another thing here. I hope I'm not taking too long. You know, when he says, comfort my people, I tell you something else God uses to comfort his people. He uses people to comfort one another. He uses his people to comfort one another. Look over here with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this at with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. You know, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, be gracious. When you're up, help those that are down. When you're sad, find somebody who's happy and joyful and go to them and get some comfort from them. But he said here in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Here he says, comfort ye, my people. God said, I'm the God of comfort. God of all comfort. And then look what he goes on to say. Who comforts us in our trials. Comforts us in our tribulation. You know, people go through things in this world. Have someone in their family dying. Someone that you have to live with is dying. Something, your body just breaking down on you and you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker as time goes on. But who comforts us in our trials? Who comforts us in our tribulation? He does. Then look what he does. So that when we have these trials and these tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You know why God lets certain things happen to people? So that we can experience it, so when other people go through it, we can actually identify with them and comfort them and go through it with them. Because God comforted us when we was in trouble. And so when we get in trouble, then we're able to comfort them that are in trouble, because we've had that experience. Huh? And I tell you where God comforted us. You know, I remember I used to tell people, said, I never have had a trial. If I've had a trial, I didn't know it. But I guess the greatest trial that I believe I've had is my two children, but especially my daughter. When she started going haywire, that was a tough, tough trial. It's still a tough trial. It's a tough thing to deal with. You're talking about somebody just died of a drug overdose. I certainly hope I don't get that news one of these days. But as she's tough for Mary to deal with, she's tough for Shirley to deal with, she's tough for me to deal with, tough for her children to deal with. And now when I see people having trouble with their children, their grandchildren, I know what they're going through. I know what they feel like. I know what they feel like. Then when Bruce's going through this thing with his wife now, spends more and more time on the couch, more and more time on the couch. I can identify with him. I can identify with him. I can identify with people with depression. I can identify with them. I've experienced lots of that. And that's why he says, wherewith God comforts us. When you see these people going through the same thing, then you can identify with them. And when you've had a lot of heartache and trouble in your own soul, then you're able to help them who have trouble in their soul. Does that make sense? That's what God said, the comforter wherewith he comforts ourselves. And so God used us to comfort one another. And I tell you, I've got a lot of comfort. A lot of comfort from the Lord's people in my life. And oh my. And let me finally close with this right here. He said, to comfort ye my people. You know why he tells us to comfort his people? Because uncomfortable Christians, they dishonor the Lord Jesus. Going around looking miserable. I was talking to a fellow today that used to go to Iran and go in the Middle East to take care of business. He said, you go where them Muslims are, he said, there's no happiness, no joy. Said they're just miserable all the time because they have to live under such bondage. The women's not allowed to show any part of their body. They got to walk 3 feet behind their husband. He said they got nothing to be happy about. But boy, we sure do. Oh, the gospel, it lifts us up. It encourages us. It comforts us. It blesses us. It gives us strength. It gives us light. It gives us everything we need when we come to hear the gospel. Ain't that right? Huh? And oh my. I tell you, electing grace, that's a great comfort. God chose us. We didn't choose him. Sovereign grace, free grace, that's a great comfort to me. Ain't it you? To be, and then when we come down to leave this world, we're like David said, Lord, this is all my salvation. What is it, David? The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire. Woo-wee. That's some comforting things, ain't it? Oh, how the gospel comforts us. Our Father, in the precious name, blessed name, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being with us this evening. What a joy, what a joy. What a joy it is to preach the gospel and be with the Lord's people. Be with people who want to hear, who want to be with one another, who pray for one another, love one another. Lord, I thank you for them. And Lord, help us to comfort one another. Help us to be a blessing to one another if we see a brother or sister down, not feeling well. God, give us a word in season. Give us some grace to say an encouraging, kind word to them. Help us, please, oh God, for Christ's sake, to honor you, love your people, bring glory to you, and be gracious, kind, and loving for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, good night, and God bless you. See you soon.